This is a tape with Lizzie Wilson? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start by talking about your experiences in the Depression and the organizing of the unemployed, the stuff we were talking about before. Just pretend the mic's not there.
The first unemployed meeting was held in the first week of January 1930. And it was led by Tom Griffin and Alan Campbell. And they marched to the cenotaph, and Scanlon, the head of the horsemen, they tried to break the demonstration up, and Campbell grabbed his horse. And they marched to the city hall. The city hall at that time was in the Holden building on East Hastings. That's where it was. And now let me think. I think the mayor was W.H. Malkin. I'm not sure. I think, yes. And the unemployed were organized by the then Communist Party.
Did the CCF play a role in organizing too?
Not them. They get the credit, but they did. But I'll tell you, the Communist Party did the organizing, see, of the unemployed first. But there was a member of the party, and Malcolm Bruce, one of the labor leaders of that time, he got suspicious of this comrade. And they broke his trunk open. Malcolm Bruce broke his trunk open. And he found the uniform of the Royal Mounted Police. And the guy's name was Inspector Esselwain of the Mounties. And from that time on, they got suspicious of the Communist Party.
Was Malcolm Bruce in the Communist Party, or?
Well, I think they all were, but they won't admit it now. None of them will. You know, don't let on because Tom and them were all, but they all quit it, see, when that happened. And then they had a meeting on the Canby Street grounds. That's where they got that. And Tom Griffin, Alan Campbell, and Max Herndl spoke. Max Herndl was a Swiss. And Tom said, down with the gunny sack route. Down with the gunny sack. And they wanted script. Get the script, and I got Woodward's wooden money. And then Alan Campbell got deported, and so did Max Herndl.
Where was Campbell from?
Scotland, from the Clydeside.
And Herndon was Swiss?
A Swiss, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then in 19... then there was Harold Winch, see? But get this right about Harold Winch, because he had a better education and he could make propaganda good. Harold Winch was in an unemployed parade, and he got hit over the head. And that was the beginning of his fighting the unemployed, but he never was in the party. In 1932, Tommy Douglas, what's the other guy's name? He's a school teacher on the prairie, Caldwell. Caldwell. He came, and I think there was another one, and they held a meeting at the old forum. And they held a meeting at the forum. And that's when the CCF party was formed here 1932, see.
Did you join the CCF then?
I never paid any dues, but I have voted NDP or CCF since I was 29, and I'm 76 now.
In the 30s, with the unemployed organizing, what kind of work did you do?
I was out of work. I was a waitress. Yeah.
Right. And did you, when the unemployed were marching, you said before that you leafleted?
Huh?
You were leafleting?
I put the leaflets out for the, at the election times and that, for the NDP or the CCF at that time. And I worked during the elections for Dorothy Steeves, see?
Right.
Yeah. And, you got no idea how tough things were.
What was it like?
Huh?
What was it like then?
Nobody had any money. There wasn't any money. And, times were really tough. But when you're young, you can take that. They had, we used to mostly go to meetings. We went to meetings, and in the East End, we were politically conscious. They weren't in the West End, not so much as we were, see? And, if I want to remember, I never will. I guess there isn't much else. We went to the... I think the wages were... $3, $4, and $5 a week. I worked at housework for 10.
Housework?
Yeah, I did a housework.
Was that because that was the only kind of work you could get?
Yeah, that's all.
No jobs waitressing?
No jobs at all. You waste your carfare going after them, and there wasn't any jobs. And, of course, I never got any breaks anyway. See? There wasn't no jobs, but not like today. They didn't give you any free courses that you got paid for. If you want to take a course, like I'd have liked to took a dressmaking course, but you had to pay for that. If you didn't have the money, you didn't pay for it. I was active in the CCF, like it. I put leaflets out for them, and I went down Chinatown and give the pictures of Dorothy Steeves to put in the window and stuff like that. Outside of that, I never took any,
Right.
Yeah. But another thing we had in the East End during the Depression, the commies organized that, it was the Women and Girls Club.
Is that the Women's Labor League?
Women's Labor League was a little different than that. This was supposed to be the Women and Girls Club. And we got books to read. Well, now I guess I'm getting out of it because I read like hell anyway. And I got the books I was told to read from a Jew. And I read Marx, the 3 volumes, and then I give it to my brother and he read it. And then the Jew told us to read Buckle, Thomas Buckle's history, and we read all that and discussed. We used to have discussions in that.
Was that in the club?
In the club, yeah. Well, a Jew, he wasn't in the club. He was, he had a dry cleaning place on Vernon Drive, but he told us to get in there, but then I wasn't in the labor movement as such. I wasn't in it. I didn't pay any dues in it or anything.
But I imagine a lot of people, especially women, were in that position where they were not in unions, that they were sympathetic to the labor movement.
Oh yes, they were. Everybody was sympathetic to the labor movement. All us old timers still are sympathetic, whether they're out just for themselves or not. We're still sympathetic to them because without labor, where would they be?
In the in the early 30s, when you were involved in the unemployed movement, what kind of things were they demanding?
One summer, they had a parade to Stanley Park, and they had a kid sitting in the bathtub while the clothes was drying on the line, because they only got one issue of clothing, and that's one of the things they were agitating about, was clothes, see? And the doctors and the lawyers that were on welfare, they got their checks sent to them, see? And us guys had to go down and get them long relief lines. Where the relief office is now, there's a garage, a big garage down there now, see? And
was it on Hastings?
I think it's Hastings and Pender, but the City Hall, when I first came back to from Old Sound, the City Hall was on Main Street, next to the library, the old library. And then it was moved down to the Holden Building, see? And, oh yes, I must give you this. So they had another demonstration. Things were getting real tough, see? And Jerry McGeer came out. He was the mayor. He was the reform mayor then. And I'll go tell you about those politics too. And he read the riot act on the steps of the cenotaph. And behind him, behind his back, it said, "Is it nothing to you who pass by?" See? Right behind it on the cenotaph. And he's reading it to the sons that their fathers went overseas, see? And he read the riot act to them, see? But before that, Vancouver was a wide open city, see? They had a Mayor Taylor there. And then they decided to have they were going to reform the city. And they elected Mayor W.H. Malkin in 1929 or 28. And when he was campaigning, Malkin, he used to campaign with two preachers sitting on either side of him. That's the way he campaigned. And he got up there, listen, and the alcoholics and the stubum, what they call them now, the alcoholics and the drifters, they were drinking Malkin's Jamaica ginger. Jakey, they called it, see? And Malkin's sitting there, and Malkin gets up and he says, "I'd rather go down to defeat with the women and the church on my side rather than go to victory with Shumoy and Joe Salona." Joe Salona run the hook shops. Shumoy run the gambling. See? So he got in there, see? But then the depression got so bad. Then they had, that's what I want to tell you this for, whether it's on there or not. Mackenzie King could see what was coming. So they had a federal election, see? And Mackenzie King was doing everything he can to get defeated. says he won't give the Tories a 5 cent piece. So he got defeated. And Bennett, R.B. Bennett got in, see? And Bennett, he was the conservative, just like Malkin was the more or less of a conservative here, see? But the Depression got so bad that I don't know who got elected after Malkin right away, see? But, Jerry McGeer, he went on a crusading rampage. Some of the judges had to resign. They weren't getting enough pension money anyway, and if they could get money otherwise, they were going to get it, see? You know, mm-hmm. We couldn't blame them for that. And so the Depression went on right up till the beginning. Oh, then they decided that they'd have to get the unemployed off the streets because it wasn't good for the tourist trade. Jesus Christ, when I think of it. And I think Taylor got elected again before McGeer after. But anyway, it's at the old Hotel Vancouver. They had a march to the forum. And Arnold Webster spoke, see, at that time. And they all had, nearly all of them had these government issue sweaters on. A sort of a khaki colored sweater.
So everybody looked the same those days if they were on a leave.
Everybody looked the same when they were on the welfare, see? And then they decided it wasn't good for the tourist trade, so that they'd have to do something about it. So they got the relief camps going, and they sent them all out to the relief camps, see? But that wasn't very good because the guys come back in worse than ever, 20 cents a day they got, see? Then the war come.
Can I ask you, before the war, okay, I want to just go back and ask some stuff.
Okay, what about women? Did women get relief just like guys did, or how, and were a lot of women on relief?
Yeah. Oh, all kinds of them, my generation. They got $30 and something a week.
For women.
And
$30 a month.
For a month, right.
Yeah.
And
I remember reading somewhere that women were often sent to the YWCA for relief. Was that true?
No, they went up to the relief office and they got the relief. And you had a card, it had a number.
Women participate in the organizations of the unemployed?
Oh, yeah.
What did they do?
I can't say because there was not a lot of women are like they were today. They didn't even know what the score was. All they wanted to do was get by somehow or other, and they didn't understand. Just like lots of them today, they don't know what's going on around them.
But the ones that did, like, did they participate in soup kitchens? Did they organize with Tom and the other men who were involved in organizing?
Tom, he just used to speak. He done the speaking, but I don't think they didn't organize any soup kitchens that I know, but I'll tell you something. Christmas time, the First Church and the Salvation Army, they gave a free dinner. You could get a Christmas dinner free, see? But I never went near them, a free dinner. And then they had Andy Ron. Oh, before they sent the guys to the relief camps, they were down on False Creek because they all got put out of their home, out of their hotel rooms and everything. And they were living in shacks down on False Creek. And Andy Rodden, he was a minister at First Church. And he went down there with a stack of bread and he's handing out bread to the unemployed and getting his picture taken while he's doing it, see. And he has meetings in the church, and he gives talks, see. And the unemployed got in there one Sunday night when he's speaking, and somebody said, what is it? Andy, there's going to be trouble. Andy's taking the collection. They called him Andy. They never called him the Reverend Andrew Rodden. His son writes once in a while. And they said, Andy's taking the collection up first, so there's going to be trouble in there, see? And there was him, this preaching of his, you know, a lot of bullshit, see? Nobody took any notice of it. And then the war come.
Can I get you some water?
I'll go and get it, dear. The 30s. We used to get an issue of clothing. Finally we got clothes, see? But everybody got the same. And I used to sit, they sat by the hour, ripping the clothes up and turned them inside out so that the kids, the people at school would know they were on relief, see? And then they used to have to get a note from the school to get shoes for the kids. That's as true as I tell you. They had to bring a note home from the teacher to get shoes. And then they went up and got the shoes, see? And there's some of them, you know, I was out at a friend's house the other day, and her daughter said, "Oh, you used to babysit for your mother or something, babysit." I said, "Babysitter?" I said, "They never had, your grandfather never had a dime to pay anybody to babysit." I said, "You were all the same boat living in the same house, see?"
Were most people on relief in the East End?
No, they were all over. There was up here in the West End, the apartment blocks torn down now, 840 Nelson. The people couldn't pay the rent. So the landlord had all the furniture collected. The suites are empty, but he's got the furniture. And there they are, they're sitting there crying. And they don't know. The East End comes and tells them, "Put your furniture back in your apartments." And they're going to tell them, "Get your furniture and put it back, see?"
Did they?
I can't remember too much about that, whether they did, but they were an awful tame lot. See, they got a more militant bunch up here now, see? And they talk about their prostitution and all this. That was just as bad in the Hungry 30s. They had prostitution then.
I bet.
Sure they did, sure. Only they had it in the East End of the city, see? And they had, Joe Salona was only the front for a great big bunch of big shots were into it up to the, see? And he's the guy that went to jail for them. When they got up, they let him have a job on his Hastings bootlegging, see? But before the Depression, when I was only in the 20s, I worked on Main in the restaurants there in the New Royal. Salona had a place up the street, just half a block up on the corner, and the store is still there.
You mentioned Mrs. Hutton and Mrs. Nielsen?
Yeah.
Who were they?
They were in the unemployed movement in the 30s. There was quite a few of them, but I can't. Mrs. Hutton stands out.
What did she do?
Organizing, speaking at the meetings. You see, underneath it was the Communist Party. They controlled it, see? They controlled more, but after the CCF came in, they kind of, especially after they caught that guy, they broke the trunk open and
right,
found his uniform. Then they were more careful and they kind of got out of it, see?
Right. How about the Women's Labor League? What were they?
That was communists too.
Right.
Those they were all, the Communist Party controlled them.
What did the labor leagues do? Did they do any organizing or?
They done agitating. Agitating for recognition of Russia and one thing and another, see? The States was worse than us. They were in a worse mess than we were.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and thousands of them out of work, no work. And then, as they say, Roosevelt saved the capitalist system. Roosevelt came on the scene, he makes his speech, see? He had nothing to fear but fear itself, see?
Do you feel that in those days the CCF was really strongly anti-capitalist? That most people who joined it sort of had almost a Marxist kind of consciousness? Or?
No. They were always to do it legally with the vote, right. You know. But between you and I, the gatepost, I don't say it, but I cannot see them changing anything with the vote. I can't see it, see? They will get concessions, yes, if we vote. But you see, I can't see this system. I won't live to see it, but I can't see this system lasting. But Russia, I heard a guy in the air say they're telling us a lot of lies about her. But Russia, see, she really hasn't got socialism. She's got state capitalism, so is China. You can't have a communist a society or a socialist society in one country or even two. You gotta have it all over the world, see? See what's happening in Spain? That guy resigned and the left wing is taking him. It's going to come in the third world.
What about during the 30s, what kind of impact did the Spanish Civil War have? Did you follow what was going on there?
Well, yeah, we knew what was going on all right, but the communists, the Louis Papineau battalion went over there. That was communist control.
Yeah,
that really was, you see, so people, they're just scared, they're leery of them, see? People got leery of the Communist Party because there was too many stool pigeons and Mounties. That one Mountie, Essewain, that got in there, he died here not long ago, that got in there, that made them leery of anything to do with them, see? So they really didn't do too much to help the Spanish.
Why did you join the why did you join the CCF instead of the Communist Party?
I never joined the NDP. Oh, I never joined the Communist Party either. Mm. See, well, the Communist Party, I got suspicious of them before they broke the trunk open before that, see. I don't know what it was, just didn't trust them. The organization, see, and then when you read, you can see for yourself what's going on, see. You see, just like what's happened, homosexuality came right to the top. There was not a lot of homosexualism went on, and it, as the system was going down, and we're getting that now here. It's that they brought it out in the open, it's better because there was too much blackmail going on, but it's a sign of decadence, of decay, see? At least I think it is too. All those sex aberrations are all a sign of decline and decay. So you don't see that over in China. Well, I guess they got them over there, but they don't.
Yeah, you were saying before that people on welfare got $13 a month?
$13 a month they got.
And that must have been really hard to live on, eh?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And the married people got 22, I think, for a couple.
How about, I'm just trying to think about other questions during the 30s. Did you work at all during the 30s?
Oh, yeah, I worked in the...
Domestic.
I worked at the Stafford Hotel. But I worked more after the war started. Then I got a job, two or three.
You said that you were a domestic worker. What was that?
No, not a domestic. I did work, I had one or two jobs at domestic service, but not steady. No, I didn't like it. I wouldn't work at it. Mostly restaurant work.
Were there any attempts to organize the restaurants?
Oh, yeah, they always had a union in the restaurants. I belonged to it when I worked in Victoria, 26, see? But if you got laid off and out of work, you had to take a job wherever there was one. White Nuts or anything like that, you took a job in there. And I worked in the log cabin on Hastings Street and around there, but...
So you worked in organized and unorganized places?
Yeah.
What were the organized places like? What did the union do for people?
Well, I got $15 a week. And the unions weren't as militant as they are today.
So mostly they got wages for people?
Well, it was a standard wage. The unions couldn't do very much either because they were hit by the economic depression. This was the worst economic depression that the capital system ever had.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yeah.
And Marx said that they would have them, and each succeeding one would be worse than the one that went before. Oh, this Hitler and the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I applied the Marxist thought to that, see? The wealthy Jew, he knew what was blowing in the wind, so he got the hell out. The wealthy Jews got out of Germany. Nobody tells me anything different. They got out. But the poor Jew was left there. He got stuck. And England wouldn't take them. You know, I read now the school teacher brought this book to me and I read it. There's pieces, short biographies about different figures, public figures. What about Trotsky, see? And this American, he's the head of the Red Cross in Russia at that time, 1917. He says, Trotsky, he's four kinds of sons of bitches. But he's the greatest Jew since Jesus Christ. Sure.
Did you know about Trotsky in the 30s?
Oh, sure we do. But yeah, well, that's what happened. The Communist Party split in 1933, see? Some of us, I didn't join, but I was sympathetic to the Trotskyites. So was Tom. I'd like
to... You were sympathetic to Trotskyism.
Oh, yeah, I was sympathetic to Trotsky, see? I had a great revolutionary, and it shows Trotsky laying dead or in his coffin or something. I had his picture on the wall for a while.
Why were you interested in him?
Well, I just thought that he was, he told it like it is.
Right.
That's why. But I wouldn't tell you about the Jews, you see. Mm-hmm. So the wealthy Jew, in the final analysis, and they'll do it again, the wealthy Jew goes with the wealthy Gentile to protect their material interests, just like the black millionaire goes with the white millionaire. And another thing they taught us when I was young, too, if you drink and smoke, you'll go down in the struggle.
What kind of attitudes were there towards women in the socialist movement?
what socialist movement, they're all equal. They don't discriminate, see? They had the socialist movement, the Communist Party was at the corner of Campbell Avenue and Hastings, underneath the Villiers. The Socialist Party hall was 666 Homer Street. And the real socialists used to come there to speak. Like, they had a lawyer, W.W. Lefaux. He used to come there and explain the system to us. Interest, rent, and profit. That's what the capitalist system is. So they could get $22 a month instead of 13.
So it was important for women to marry so that they could survive?
Yes. But there was an awful lot of abortion, too, among the married women.
Was there?
Yes. An awful lot of it in my class, see?
How did people get abortion?
Knitting needles, slippery elm.
Did people?
All kinds of concoctions, I said. Quinine, everything they used, see? And I said, and what did you doctors tell us? And they went there and they'd say, we're here to give life, not to take it.
What about birth control? Was there any birth control?
Yes, Dr. Telford, he used to tell the women about the birth control. That's another thing. Dr. Telford, he was one of the, well, we called him phony, but maybe he wasn't. He had he used to go around lecturing, and title piece of his lecture was If I Were Dictator. And then he'd go through a long song and dance telling about if he were dictator, see? And then he ran for mayor. And he got elected mayor of the city. And I think he kind of fell out with the CCF at that time. He fell out with them. I don't know what, but he was all for birth control, giving the women the birth control pills. He had 8 miscarriages.
So self-induced abortion?
Yeah. Well, she got pregnant, and she went to the doctor, and he told her the same old story. And so she got close to the window of his office, see? She threatened to go out the window if he did give her something. And he didn't want to have a scene or nothing in there. And he gave her a prescription. And she got it. And half of them didn't take it right. They passed it around among them, see? And another.
Like working in the biscuit factory, what were the hours like and the conditions?
Oh, that's 50, almost 60 years ago now. I was only 16. 10 hours, 10 and a half hours a day, 10 hours a day, and we got $4 a week. And then after we were there a year or so, it was the McLaughlin Biscuit Factory in Lone Sound. And after that, we got $5 a week, see. And I don't know, I worked there maybe a year and a half or so. Then I went to the whiteware factory, didn't get paid any better because if you got good at that, you got shoved on piecework, see. And then I came here and I just went from one thing to the other and got married and that. And that's it. Been on my own ever since.
Okay. Do you want to break?
Came in
39.
The first, see, my generation went through 2 world wars, see? I was 11 years old when the first world war started. And we went through the first world war. We went through and I was going to school in 1917. when they tried to introduce conscription into Quebec, see? And they have a hell of a time with them. They there's no way that they're going over there and fight. And this stuff they're talking about now is just a repetition. Quebec's always, see? And then 1918 come the flu. I got sent back to old sound. But 1918, the flu, they just died just like flies. And out here, my father told me after I come here, he was living in the main hotel on Main Street. And there was an undertaking parlor down called Edwards. And he used to be, Edwards used to be out in the street waiting for it, you know, bring the corpses or whatever. They'd say, how's business, Mr. Edwards? Fine, fine, never was better. And they'd give him a slug. And then the 1920s came the flapper years, you see. Right after the war came big, big changes for the women. They cut their hair, they wore their dresses shorter, and then's when they really started to go out to work. See? And then in the fall of 29, the stock market crashed. And I had a brother. In fact, in our family, there's a streak of mathematics runs through the family. And my youngest brother had it. He was a really, I call him a genius for those days with mathematics, because he never went to university, but could do it all. And I said to him at the time, well, what's going to work? Well, so the stock market crashed. He said, you wait and see what that means. You figure out what that means, he said. You're going to feel it. And we didn't believe him, you see, but we did. Yeah. See? And the Depression years came for 10 years, you see. We had that Depression. And 1939, the Second World War come. And the phony part, the phony war, they called it. And then in May 19, then in the spring of 1940, when Hitler went through Belgium and through France, and the reason that Churchill was the prime minister at that time at 65 was because they lost all that generation in the First World War. You know, they lost the leaders and all, officers and everything. That's what put Churchill in there, see?